Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Tropfen den Regen auf mein Kopf. Hink wie ein Deckel, wo sie sie kleine Farbe im Topf. Geht mir kein Sach mit, die Tropfen.
Hey everyone, welcome to Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. I'm your host, Judy Gold, and I am in pain, but I'm still doing my intro for my part two interview with Zainab Johnson, which I heard a lot of people enjoyed. I really hope you enjoy part two. She's really amazing, and what an incredible life. Not attractive. Kidding! Anyway, I am doing much better with my knee, although I have to say it still kills, but I can walk in the apartment without a cane. I can't walk outside without a cane. I have to do one step at a time, but I'm really pushing myself. And I start PT in a facility this week, in a facility like I'm fucking 90 years old. So that's going to help because they're going to do all this shit to my knee, but it's 1,000 times better than the last time. Like I think I can bend it 90 degrees if I push it really hard. I can straighten it. It's just the pain and the swelling. And it's like, you know, and Elise is like, you know, Judy, it's major surgery and they sawed off your bone. Like they sawed into your bones. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's true. But you know, and I'm so fucking sick of everyone telling, who's your doctor? Oh yeah. No, it's going to take, everyone knows everything. I fucking hate that everyone thinks they know everything. Is anyone else feeling like that? Everyone thinks that, and you know, and as you know, everyone knows everything about the Middle East. But I am still, I'm relieved for the hostages who've been returned. Although they, you know, they can't really talk about what they went through because they got threatened. But I have to say, that woman, that 36-year-old woman, I wish I had her name right now, who looked at the at Hamas in the eyes and was just like, go fuck yourself. She is a fucking hero. But, you know, you see when they release the hostages how they have, you know, they have, they're all their faces are hidden, of course. And they have people on video, you know, with video cameras or film, whatever, you know, making them wave and taking videos of this. It's the propaganda war. They are just winning, winning, winning. The fact that Netanyahu knew about this, I mean, shit's going to hit the fucking fan. He is fucked up. He's just awful. I'm sorry. He is awful. But these horrible, I don't know if you know that in Toronto, these, and I'm not saying pro-Palestinian, I'm saying pro-Hamas. These are pro-Hamas people are targeting Jewish-owned businesses and surrounding them. This is shit from the 30s. This is shit from the fucking 30s. Okay? The way people are behaving. And the fact that we as Jews have to constantly remind everyone, this is a terrorist organization who hates you too. And, you know, there's this, they're always saying free Palestine, free Palestine. Israel hasn't been in Gaza, as we know, since 2005, but you want a Palestinian state. You've been offered it so many times, and yet Hamas continues to abuse its citizens, the citizens of Gaza, the children of Gaza. There's so many children because they have most of their population is very, very young, which is why there's no genocide, because there's actually more of them than there were. But they deserve to live with dignity. They deserve to live in peace. And yet you keep blaming Israel, but it is Hamas that has put them in this situation. I'm sorry, but that is a fucking fact. And Israel is fighting Hamas with the anti-Semitism going through the fucking roof, and the misinformation and the bullshit that I got to do a podcast of just bullshit that I read on the internet because it's so fucking ridiculous. Anyway, this week it is Hanukkah. And, you know, it's sad. Hanukkah is the festival of lights. They're in a dark tunnel. It is a festival of triumph over evil and survival and surviving. Survival. I'm trying to say the word survival ship, but I don't think it's a word. But that's what the holiday's about. It's not going to be, it is going to be bittersweet because of the almost, you know, 140 hostages that are still there. They're still there that are underground. Children, women, and men. You want a ceasefire, people? They still have our people there held hostage, and the things they did to them, and the fact that women have not been speaking out against the atrocities. Again, these women were raped. They were shot while they were being raped. I mean, it's so horrible. I don't even want to talk about it, but we have to, because we're fighting. We're fighting for our existence. And it really is really upsetting. So anyway, that's that. I want to tell you about the gigs I do have coming up. I do have, what am I doing? I'm doing something this week. I'm doing a benefit at the Laurie Beachman Theater on Wednesday. I love the Laurie Beachman Theater. It is at, I think it's downstairs from the West Bank Cafe on 42nd. It's a great, great place. I'm also going to my PT that day. I also want to let you know that December 12th, we have live podcast with Modi. We're going to talk about everything that's going on, and tickets are really selling out. That's at the Midnight Theater on December 12th, which is Tuesday, December 12th. Doors open at 6, 7 o'clock show. Gonna be great. Do I have anything on the 13th? No, I'm looking at my... on the 16th, I am at South Orange Performing Arts Center with Liz Glazer and John Fish. And that is going to be a great fucking show. So go to my website, judygold.com, and get tickets. Or go to the link in my bio on Instagram, or go wherever you can to get tickets to the South Orange Performing Arts Center, because that's going to be fucking amazing. Also, I want you to know that on December 25th, which is the birthday of Jesus, Christmas Day, I will be doing a show at Stand Up New York. I think it's at 7, and it there will be there are VIP tickets that include, I think, Chinese food. Don't quote me. At a meet and greet, and it's right on the Upper West Side, and it's going to be fun. And Liz Glazer's on that show too, so that's going to be like, I love performing on Christmas, because it's just, you know, it's you know, either miserable people who hate their fucking families and Jews, and it's great. Because I'm miserable and I'm a Jew. So anyway, there's that and that. I have gigs coming up in January. But listen, it's the holiday season. It's December. I'm in pain. Elise has been taking care of me. And she's been good, but it's not easy. I'm not easy. We're not easy, you know? And especially, like, you just want to get the fuck out of here. But anyway, you are probably out somewhere, hopefully listening. And I want you to enjoy. I want you to sit back. I want you to relax. And I want you to enjoy part two of my interview with the wonderful Zainab Johnson. So you pack your car, you go to LA, and you start taking improv, sketch classes. And you said that in college you would go to comedy shows. That was like a thing that you, you know, we want to go out. Let's go to a comedy show. So you were a comedy fan.
We go down to the Cellar, Judy.
Right.
Yeah, we go down to the Cellar and freaking, you know, like make friends with somebody like Keith Robinson. You know, and it's like. And then they just open up the door to, you know, like, oh, y'all want, oh, y'all little young girls. You know what I'm saying?
So, and Keith was one of your mentors.
Yeah.
He heard a story that he got you, you were like, oh, I'm a comedian. And he was like, oh, really? Okay. And he got you a spot at Stand Up New York, which is on the Upper West Side.
He got me the check spot.
Yeah, the check spot. Let's explain to everyone the fucking shit check spot. The check spot is the shit spot, and they always give it to the least experienced comedian to make them suffer. But when you're sitting, when you're at a comedy show and there's another show after, so if there's an 8 o'clock show and then a 10 o'clock show and then a midnight show, they drop checks on the tables about an hour into the show, so the checks can be paid, and then everyone get the fuck out so they can seat the next show. So that's between the third and fourth comic. It's sort of in between there. So
it's a short spot. It's usually like what, like 5-6 minutes? It's a short spot.
And no one's paying attention. They're all looking at their checks, going, fuck, I can't believe I have to pay for this. Why did you order that, you fucking asshole? I can't believe the cover charge. What do you mean there's a 2-drink minimum? It's like, it's the worst fucking spot. But it does let you grow the balls. But you did
You
did it.
I did it.
And Keith said, you got off stage and Keith said, you got something.
You got something.
You I can just hear something. Him saying that. I just can hear him saying that right now. And he was and like, he was shit. He was pissed off.
He said, I'm so mad. Oh, you got something. Okay. He said, now you know what you got to do. I said, what? He said, watch the news.
Yeah. You do. You have to watch the news. Yeah. It's shit, but you have to. Yeah, I got to know what the fuck is going on. So you were taking these classes and you realized, no, I want to do stand-up. I don't want to do sketch. I don't want to do improv. You also mentioned in an interview that you were on the debate team, that all of these things sort of gave you the confidence.
No, I was never on a debate team.
Oh, my God. I read that you ran track in college.
No, that's, I don't know who wrote that. I didn't run track.
Fuck. Who the fuck I wrote ran that track shit? Before.
I ran track before I played basketball. I definitely ran track before fuck I played basketball, but that's every- in that's in middle school.
Fuck it. Fuck. Okay, whatever article that was is shit. All right, this better be true. That your friend your friend took you to a comedy show that was all female comedians.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh God, thank God. That's and true. That sort of gave you this.
Okay, so in every moment, I don't know that I'm having this realization in the moment.
Right, right.
But like, you know how you realize like, it, like, you
like
know,
you process it's it, like retrospectively. And then you go, oh, yeah, that's what that was for.
Yeah, like I remember, yeah. I remember a few things happening. I remember, my friend telling me to audition for a show when I first moved to LA. He told me to audition for a show. He's like, hey, BET is doing this like prank dating show and they're looking for funny women. And I'm like, well, why are you calling me? And he was like, because you're funny. And I was like, no, I'm not. Like, what are you talking about? He's like, Zaynep, just go. You are funny, right? So I remember that being like, maybe in my adult life, the first person it like said and acknowledged, like, no, you are funny. I don't care what you say, right, what you think, you are funny, right? Now, fast forward, yeah, like I'm taking, you know, classes at Groundlings. I'm taking classes at UCB. I was a part of like an actual like sketch and improv group that we just used to do clubs around like LA. You know, it's like out of work actors or comedians and writers just trying to find a way to be creative and like find, you know, create, you know, make friends and things like that. But then I remember going to this at this point when this happened, I was working for a guy who managed comedians and he used to book a weekly show at the Comedy Store. So every single week I am interfacing with a comedy show, like directly with a comedy show and comedians, right? And then a friend of mine was like, hey, come with me to this show. It's an all female lineup. Like gotcha. She had a friend that was on the show. And so it's like 10 women and they're all doing comedy. And, you know, I get that it wasn't, I hate to say it now. Like at the time I thought, oh gosh, these people aren't funny. I try my best not to say that now because I never want to contribute to that stupid narrative that women aren't funny, right? Right. But I did feel like, oh, this isn't really funny. And I think I know why. That's the bigger part to me.
Right, right.
That, like in retrospect, I'm like, oh, you were a comedian because you weren't just having an opinion. You had like a thesis. You had a solution.
Right,
you
right.
had a, you know what I'm saying? You were trying to rewrite jokes in your head. When I was going to this comedy show, working with this comedy show every week, I would listen to comics and then rewrite their jokes in my head or try to like reverse engineer it.
Right.
Like, oh, this is, it's working because he made this face or he said it like this.
Yeah.
Oh, because he's big, he can only see, somebody else can't say that.
Right, you know? Right.
I was doing all of this in my head, but not thinking like, ooh, because I'm going to be a comedian. It just started happening, right? Then I remember I went to Vegas, maybe like when they rebooted like Def Comedy Jam or something like that. I'm very close friends with Will Silverman. And Will used to drag me along to everything comedy related, right? And he's like, we're doing it, you know, they're doing a whole Def Comedy Jam, you know, festival or something like that in Vegas, right? And I'm like, oh, okay, so it's just me, Will, and Damon Wayans Jr. We're just hanging out, you know, in Vegas during this comedy festival. And I remember I went to like I remember that was my first time seeing Tiffany Haddish perform, right? And then the next, like maybe that night, I went to like an after party, and mm-hmm. I remember Stan Lathan stopping me and saying, hey, are you Zaynep Johnson? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, I heard you have great comedic timing. And I was like, what? Now, Judy, I don't know where he got that from.
Right.
I didn't even have a resume. You know what I'm saying? I had done nothing.
Were you waiting for him to say, like, I heard you have great tits or something, and then he comes out with that? Okay, yeah. I heard you have great tits. To me, it's comedic timing, yeah.
But I was like, you know what? If he heard it, then it must be true.
Right. Someone so said something.
I responded to him. I was like, yeah, you know, I do. But Judy, I know I don't got nothing to,
right.
Like if he would have said, send me a reel the next day, I would not have had anything.
Yeah.
Right. So all of that is like percolating in my mind. I get back to LA and I'm at my boyfriend's house, and he has this like casting director. He's friends with this casting director. So she's there with like her love interest, whatever. And I am reenacting the entire show that I saw in Vegas. I mean, I'm doing imitations. I'm doing everybody's material. Right. I'm giving my opinion. I'm like, and then they did this. And why would you do when did it? You know, I mean, when we go on a rant, Judy, I'm in the rant, and I have everybody is like captive audience, right? I don't think nothing of that. That was just a day in my life, right? Fast forward, when I decide to quit this job for this manager that I was working for, I don't know why it came in my head to go to an open mic. Like, I don't know where that came from. I have no idea. But I know that I went to his office and I was like, hey, you know, I did not move to LA to be like to work in an office and to be somebody's assistant. So I just want to put in my 2 weeks notice. And then I sat down and I Googled open mics. I lived in North Hollywood at the time. I Googled
open mics. You went to a hookah lounge? Is that right?
I went to a hookah lounge two blocks from my house. And I got up there. And the rest is
history.
But what the thing about it is I remember two things. First, I had shaved my head that year, and my friend was like, called her, and I was like, guess what? She was like, well, I was like, I just shaved my head. And she was like, oh my God, I'm coming over. Let me see. And then when she walked in, she was like, but I knew you would look nice because you always pull your hair back in a ponytail and it looks great. So I knew you would look nice, right? It was like a no-brainer for her.
Yeah.
And then fast forward way later in the year, I call her again and I'm like, hey, I'm about to go to this place and do stand-up. And she's like, okay, I'm going to meet you there. She didn't get there until the very end of my like 5-minute set, right? And so when I got off stage, I was like, oh my God, I think everybody's laughing. People stop smoking hookah. Like they're with me, right? And I'm like, oh my God, I think I'm going to be a comedian. And she was like, girl, I told you, you was funny. Like, I don't know why this is taking so long for you to get it. Like, yeah. And then I just haven't stopped since.
Hey everybody, if you know me, you know I love my liquid IV and I love giving it to people and telling people about it. And it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV. And I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, Liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration. That it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love Liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lova, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your Liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, at liquidiv.com.
You're welcome. You do the road, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot, which is so important. A lot of people don't understand how important that is. I mean, and I I heard someone ask you, do you alter your material for where you are? And you said, absolutely not. This is my act. And you're 100% right. I love that. I love that, you know, this is my act and I'm bringing it to you. But you learn so much on the road. You learn so much because it's not easy.
Yeah, and there is a little bit of like figuring out how to maintain your act when you're in a place and it's not working. Or the audience is like a different audience than you're used to.
Yes.
Yeah, you figure out, but it's like if I went to a different city and changed just for that city, well, I mean, I'd never build a set. Like, who am I?
Right.
Who, you know, that to me sounds almost like, let's say Judy, you and I, right, we're really close friends. And then you and I go to four different houses in one night, right? And every single house I show up to, I'm a completely different person. And you're like, God damn, who is my friend?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I thought I knew Zaynab. But I want people, my stand up is like, I'm inviting you into my world.
Right.
I'm not coming into your world.
Exactly.
Now, I'm very aware. So I'll acknowledge when I'm doing my set and there has to be like, it's not going as planned or they're having some, I acknowledge what's happening.
Of course you have to.
A lot of times that helps build material.
Then exactly.
I'm like, you know, I'm doing this joke about houses right now and I use the word bespoke and I said it and like a few people laughed. And then one woman came up to me after the show and was like, you know, people got to know what bespoke means. So now the next time I do the joke, I do it. It's the same thing. And now my tag is, I recognize y'all got to know what bespoke is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
now
right, right. It's exactly like, right. That's how bits get built. Yeah.
Yes.
And you can't do that without stage time. And, you know, 12 minutes or 15 minutes at a club in New York is not going to build your act, you know, so you can sustain for a half an hour or 45 minutes or an hour.
Judy, I'm so happy you said this because I am finding that some comics are looking at me like I'm okay. So I have been on the road lately, like I'm getting back out there because I just taped an hour. And so now I have to build new material, right? And people are like, how's the tour going? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm not on tour. I'm on the road.
Right.
But I'm not on tour. And they're like, yeah, but it's a tour, right? I'm like, no, for me, the job of a comedian is going on the road so that we can do long form sets.
Absolutely.
So that we can build material. Now, once I build that material, then I'll go on a tour that either leads up to the taping.
Right. Yes.
Or I'll tour after the taping. Do you know what I'm saying?
But yes, it's the same. Yes.
Going on the road is a part of the job.
Right. And it's like, if you can't stand up there for 45 minutes and keep their attention and keep them engaged and keep them laughing, then, you know, you need to be up there for that period of time to be able to sustain for that period of time. And that's why these people who do like stupid, like, you know, 1 minute videos get a billion followers and then the club hires them to go do an hour and they can stand up there for maybe 5 minutes. You know, is destructive to comedy and it's, you know, you're doing it the right way. This is exactly what being a comedian is. Yeah.
Even people like ask, you know, people kind of sometimes tease me about like trying to like maintain my health, which is, that's so crazy, right? People are like, are you eating kale again, bitch? You eating kale? You know, it's like, whoa, you know, why is that? But I realize when I'm on the road and I'm doing two shows a night, like when you're doing 2 hours,
oh my God, it's so
exhausting. I realize how physically exhausting.
Right.
I can even, sometimes if I'm having a good old time, we done got into like crowd work. We done went, me and the crowd, we done went on a journey. Now I realize, oh shit, I'm up there for an hour and 20 minutes.
Right.
It hits, the fatigue hits me. And sometimes I'll just have to end my set like, okay, you guys, like, I can't, I'm done.
I'm done. Right. Okay, I'm exhausted. Yeah.
I gotta go. You know, yeah. Like I'm mentally and physically.
Well, because you can't focus on anything else. And it's so interesting that you say that because, you know, I'll be up there and I'll do an hour, whatever, an hour plus. And then, and I'm like, so hyper-focused. And then I'm done and I'm like, ow, my knee, ow, my whole body hurts. You know what I mean? And you don't realize, it goes away. It's like when you're sick and you're like, fuck, I have to do a set. And then you get on stage and you're fine. You're fine for the set. Yeah. And that, yeah.
Yeah. And how then it all comes right back to you.
How, I just wonder, because, you know, I've been doing stand-up for 41 years. Now, I
really?
Want,
yes. Oh my God.
It's crazy. I just found this. I'm going to post it, but I just found this. I'm going through all my shit and I'm throwing it out. But I'm not throwing this out. This program from 1984, where I did stand up at Rutgers, where I went to college. And it said that I had first performed at Catch a Rising Star in August of 1982. I was doing stand up. In 1980, I mean, like, I can't even, whatever. How is it?
That's
know
amazing,
that the road, and I love it. I love being a comedian. But the road was awful for us. Is it okay? Are you comfortable? Are you, I mean, I had, you know, I've talked about people, clubs putting on, like, filthy guitar acts before me, just so I, because I was a female headliner, just to make it more difficult for me and stuff. Do you get any of that kind of stuff anymore? No.
No, I think that, you know, unfortunately, yeah, well, fortunately, you crawled so that, you know, we could walk, Judy. You know, I'm not experiencing stuff like that. Although I do, I will say that there is, I noticed a difference in like, oh, when I was featuring you know, like I've had like the terrible, condo.
Oh, please.
Awful.
These condos, and you have to share it with men because they never put two women on a show. Ugh.
You know? And then like moving into being a headliner, but not really being able to sell that many tickets. So, you know what I'm saying? So it's not really like you're a developmental act. And so they're not laying out the red carpet for you.
Right.
And like, you know, it's getting a bit better for me at this point. Like I'm doing more door deals, selling out shows, things like that. And so I can see, you know, I see the difference in treatment, especially if like now I choose my lineup. You know what I'm saying? I choose to, I don't bring people on the phone, but let me know who you choose and I'll approve of them or not.
Right.
And then we'll change it or we'll, you know, I've heard stories from comedians, from especially female comedians, you know, before me, where it's been so bad, even in hotel rooms and things, like having to share a hotel room with a male act. And thankfully, you know, so I'm so thankful that that hasn't been my experience. You know, the worst that I've experienced is like, yeah, I'll show up and I'm headlining and this manager of the club wants to put on his two friends and not even ask my permission.
Oh yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
You know, and then and me not knowing better, it's like the first night I'm like, oh, I guess there's four people on the show.
Right, right.
And then me calling someone like Keith, like, yeah, this and this is happening. And he's like, fuck, you know, you know, fuck that.
Right.
No, that's not what's supposed to happen.
Exactly.
You know, they got to ask your permission. You the headliner, you know, whatever. And then it's like, and then me taking that and arming myself with the information of the people that came before me and saying, you got to ask me, nobody's on my show. Let me call my agent. Let me activate everybody because you're not going to just treat me any old way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You really have to stick up for
yourself. And then sometimes you have like, you know, especially if I'm performing at a venue that's now moving into comedy, but it's not a comedy club.
Oh yeah, they're the worst.
And they don't know.
Yeah, and they don't know the sound system sucks, and you're like, no,
yeah,
you have to have
you really
the fucking lights off in the audience, you asshole.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Hey everyone, I love our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I don't know if you've noticed, when we show the clips of the podcast that I have a new best friend in my office named Avi. And where did I get Avi? At Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States of America. And I am a happy customer. I love walking in this room and seeing my fig tree, Avi. I talk to Avi. I love it. It makes me happy. And you need plant life in your house. And I have another plant on my piano in the other room. I'm just telling you, it makes your home so much more of a home. So thank you to Fast Growing Trees. They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees. They have palm trees. They have evergreens. They have houseplants and so much more. And I'm in an apartment in New York. Okay? I don't even have a yard outside. And it's changed my life. Do it. Go to Fast Growing Trees. And whatever you're interested in, they have it. They have the perfect fit for your climate, for your space. You can call them and ask them how to take care of your plants. They have so much information. And it's so easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee. They have free plant consultation forever. Forever. And I have a new best friend, Avi. I love you, Avi. So do it. You don't need a yard. You don't need a lot of space. You just need to make your home a beautiful place. And that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Do it. You're welcome. I just want to say that you are the host of 100 Humans. And there was another thing, something on Amazon. Well, is your special on Amazon?
Yeah, my special is on Amazon. It's not out yet. It comes out October 24th.
Yes. So it is out.
Yes. It's out. It's called Hijabs Off.
Yeah.
It's called Hijabs Off.
Hijabs Off. You are such a treat, and your life is so interesting. I'm telling you, first of all, you better give me a part on your fucking series that they create of the old Jewish woman down the street who is constantly complaining. But, you know, what else could I be? I could be your therapist.
Or my manager.
Oh, yeah, I could totally be. I would be great at being your manager. Thank you. Thank you. But I know that this life that you have led and lived is going to be brought to the screen. I just know it. And you're gorgeous, which is so fucking annoying and funny and smart. But I can't, I ask my podcast guests two things. So I'm going to ask you two questions that you must answer. Number one, what do you do for your mental health? We're very pro mental health at this podcast.
I get up and I run. I am a jogger, a runner. Like, I am a morning runner. I'm one of those people when you get up, you get in your morning coffee and you see somebody dart past you, 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning.
Ew, that's what time you get up? Okay. You're not a real comic.
I am. That's why I need my mid afternoon nap.
Oh, okay. As long as you take it. How far do you run? I was a runner. And now I've had one knee replacement. I'm getting another one in a month because, you know, I'm tall and big, not good body for running, but how long are your runs?
Now I consistently run like about 5 miles. I used to run the longest that I was running every day, not every day, but like maybe 5 days a week was about 8 miles.
Oh,
I haven't done it. I stopped doing that during the pandemic.
Right.
Now I'm like a consistent 4.5 to 5 miles.
Wow, but that's great.
I ran on on Monday, I ran in New York. My favorite thing to do in New York when I'm in New York is run Central Park.
Yeah, it's the best.
And yeah. And so on Monday, I ran 7.5 miles.
Fuck you.
Because I ran from Harlem. I ran from Harlem.
Into the park.
To Central Park. Ran all the way around.
Which is 6.1.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah.
I know. It's so funny. Yeah. I ran the marathon and you just know exactly how many miles every loop in that park is. I love that. Running that park is so amazing. It's so amazing.
It's wonderful. When I was a kid, my mom used to walk us around the park. She would either walk us around the park or walk us around the reservoir. That is a lasting memory for me. And I was talking to my mom recently and she said, you know, Zainab, I feel so bad sometimes because we really didn't have like the money for me to do to put you in a lot of extracurricular activity. She said, that's why I would just get up and walk you guys around the park. And she said it, she was like sad and apologizing to me. And I was like, this is so interesting because that is one of my fondest memories.
Right. And
my childhood.
And you're carrying it on now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I hate you. Okay. The number two question I always ask. All right. So the podcast is called Kill Me Now because you know me, I get aggravated about every fucking thing and I'm like, oh my God, I can't take it. Kill me now. So what makes you so like makes you crazy pissed off? Like it could be anything. It could be the littlest thing, but what makes you fucking so mad that you want to say, kill me now?
When people don't do their job.
Oh my
when
God.
People don't
yes.
Do their job.
Yes.
When people don't do their job.
Yes.
It's like, then I'm trying to have empathy for you, but it's like, this is so simple,
oh my
lady.
God.
I'm just, you're here. You have to be here. You can't go anywhere. And I'm asking you a simple question that you know the answer to.
Right.
Just stop being an asshole. Just, you know what I'm saying? Like, stop it. You're here on the clock. I'm not asking you for a favor.
Right. It's the other thing that, like, I'm going to take it to another level. Like, I start feeling like that. Like, when I call and order something and I'm really specific and your job is to write that down and put that in a bag and get it delivered and it's all wrong, like your job, this is your job to listen, write to, yeah, like I'm just like, do your fucking job. And I don't have to tip you. I don't have to tip you for pouring me a cup of fucking coffee.
But even like everywhere, I remember I was on set for a project and the props person, it's like, your job is the props. All you supposed, you ain't got to do much. All you got to do is when we need this prop, that's where you show up. Why don't you have the prop? And I would be watching because I mean, I'm having like a fit in my body because I'm only the actor. You get what I'm saying?
You can't be cunty because then everyone's like, she's a cunt. Yeah.
But in my mind, I'm flabbergasted sometimes to the point, Judy, where I laugh out loud because I'm in such disbelief of, hold on. Okay, so you didn't have the prop yesterday.
Right.
You knew you messed up the prop or the prop was broken. But now we here doing the same thing, needing the same prop 2 days later. And you still didn't?
Right.
How are you still employed? I'm so confused.
It's unbelievable. And then in our business, people fail up. Like they fuck up TV shows. And then they're like, oh, they're hired as vice president of programming and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, how does that happen? Like, if we have a shitty set, we don't get the fucking gig.
I was in a car with Yamanika.
Oh my God, I love my girl. Okay.
So I don't know. I think I was like, we were in a car looking for parking or something like that, and there's a officer in a patrol car parked. You know, we're in Harlem. He's parked, and I pull up to him, and I'm like, "Hey, do you know if we can park here?" And he's like, my mind. And so anybody else would have probably been like, okay, officer, thank you. They would probably,
Right.
And I said, wait, I'm sorry. Do you not know? Because if you don't know, you can tell me you don't know. You don't, please don't waste my time. And it's fine if you don't know, like, you know, you're not Google Maps, but I do expect you to know the city you're patrolling. he sat up in his seat and like he got it together. He was like, no, I'm so sorry. You're not supposed to. And then he answered my question, but he wasn't going to do it.
Right.
He was not going to do it.
Right.
It's like, and Yamanika said, you know, Zainab, there is something real special about you because most people wouldn't have even talked to a cop.
Right.
But it's, for me, it's just like, I don't understand it, sir. I don't understand what's happening. Like, I am asking you a very simple question. You're on the clock because you're in uniform.
Right.
Your whole job is to be helpful to me as a citizen.
Right, and protect you, and
yeah, what is going on?
Oh,
or should I park here and then you get out and give me a ticket?
Right,
I'm trying to prevent.
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? What's happening?
And then you get a ticket, and then you have to write. I asked the cop. I get it. Zainab.
Even one last one, Judy. One last.
Yeah,
one.
Go ahead. I love
in
this.
Comedy, even in stand up. Unfortunately, when a comic bombs so bad that they mess up the room.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
They mess
up the energy in a room. And then the host goes up on stage and does nothing to clean it
up.
The host is like, you ready for your next comic? It's like,
no, you clean up the fucking mess.
This now is when you do your job.
Right, exactly.
Now, do your freaking job.
Right.
Now I got to spend 5 minutes of my set hosting,
right,
cleaning up the room,
right,
before I can get into my just
oh
do
yeah
your job.
That is the worst. That is the fucking worst. Oh God, I could talk to you all day. Did you run this morning? Oh no, because you got off the plane. Oh, all right.
Yeah. But I can't wait. You know, in LA, when it's hot, you have to get up and run
in the morning or at night.
And so I probably won't run today, but the first thing I thought was, oh, I can't wait to go for a run tomorrow.
I know, the endorphins are,
release.
Yeah.
Zainab,
I hope everyone watches your special on Amazon. And
yes, please do.
And I really, you have such a great future ahead of you. I'm telling you. And I need to be a part of it. I really do.
thank you, Judy. Thank you so much. I can't thank you enough
for doing the podcast. You're such a delight. And where can people follow you?
They can follow me on Instagram and Twitter or X is Zainab Johnson, Z-A-I-N-A-B Johnson. TikTok, it's The Zainab Johnson.
The Zainab Johnson.
My website is Zainab Johnson, and that'll link you to everything if you want to come see me perform if I'm in a city near you. But that's how you can find me and watch my special.
And watch her special, and I hope you come to New York soon so we can hang and you can
do some
cheers from your cheerleading days. Fucking asshole.
From my damn
my
fake pom-pom days.
Yeah, from your debating and pom-pom days. Zainab, thank you so much.
Thank you,
Judy. Thank you so much for listening to part two of my interview with Zainab Johnson. Get her album, Hijabs Off. Oh, did they call it an album? We'll download it. It's great. Or her special. It's called a special. I don't even know. I'm so fucking on. I haven't been taking the oxycodone. I've been taking the Tylenol, but I think I might take. I don't feel good. So yeah, thank you. She's amazing. This podcast was, look at me. I'm so fucking tired. It was edited by Colin Schmeling, produced by Laura Vogel, marketed and whatevered by Brittany Jo Sowards Richmond. And don't forget, we have a live podcast coming up December 12th with Modi at the Midnight Theater. Tickets are going FAST. That's spells out fast. On the 16th, we have South Orange Performing Arts Center with Liz Glazer and John Fish in New Jersey. And that's my home state. And it's going to be a great Jewy fucking celebration show. Ben has been doing great in his basketball. Oh, they did a podcast with him and he mentioned me. So I'm in love with him. But I'm in love with Henry too. So I'm in love with Lisa. Well, I'm in love with Lisa different than I am with Henry and Ben.
Like, I love Henry and Ben because they're my sons, and I'm in love with... Okay, who cares? Anyway, I want to shout out Mazel Tov. Well, I could shout out to the parents, but I'm going to shout out my oldest friend, Howard Rosenstein, one of my best, closest people in my whole life, and his wife, Sherry Rosenstein. Yes. They are grandparents. They are new grandparents to beautiful Molly Adele Rosenstein, and everyone's healthy, everyone's happy, and it's just beautiful. I can't believe that my friends are grandparents now. They're grandparents. And, you know, it makes me feel old. Yeah, so that's that. Can't believe it. I mean, I want to be a grandparent, but not right now. You know, I can't even walk. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to be a really good grandparent. But you know, it's going to be really hard. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because there's going to be multiple grandmothers. You know what I mean? And yeah, it's going to be multiple. And so I am going to have to really sort of, which I can do. I can make myself special. But yeah, it's not, I don't know. That's not the thing that I want. Oh, and I wanted to also say, so Mazel Tov. And also I wanted to say, fuck you, Susan Sarandon. Go fuck yourself. Okay? I don't accept your stupid apology. You know, these people act like they're so smart, right? And then what do? They say the stupidest fucking shit in the world. And they're like, oh, I didn't mean it. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Okay, so that's that. Mazel to Howard and Sherry and their son, Adam, and his wife, Madeline. They're all Jews. More Jews in the world. There's nothing better. And babies. What else do I have to tell you? That's it. Come see my shows. Hopefully I'll be able to stand the entire time, but I doubt it. And I'll have a lot to say. A lot to say, especially being an aged woman who has a brand new knee. Okay. Happy Hanukkah to everyone. I hope it's a joyous one. I said joyous, yeah. I can't believe anyone is listening to the end of this. I can't believe any fucking person is still listening to me, but I love you if you are. And as we always say, so long.